We've been doing a series on the Johannine Epistles. We've been at it for, this is our 29th sermon in those three books, and next Sunday we finish it up, I promise. Now we're in 3 John, verses 9 through 11, and this is the way it reads. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. I don't know about you. Sometimes when I was little, I got caught onto it a little later, but when I was small, I didn't know which way to turn a screw. You know, do you do it this way or do it that way? And the old saying, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, was not around in my day, so I had to learn it the hard way. But I learned it, got that all down, and then I bought a gas, I had gas in a bottle and thing. And I started, it's righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. I'm turning. No, no, not with gas. Gas is backward. So you don't hook a water thing into the gas or vice versa. And so they had that backward. So I had to turn that, had to learn all over again. Something different. Well, you know, Jesus was like that. Jesus had some backward things. He didn't have them backward. He had them right. But we all had it backward. He said, for instance, the way up is down. You want to go up, go down. What? Yeah. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. So the way up is down. You go down, you go up. God exalted him. Well, he says, if you want to be a leader, then serve. What? You mean I'm going to wash feet and that's the way I'm going to be a leader? That's what he said. Yeah. Well, he said himself, remember, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Well, that's the way he was. It was a backward thing. Then he said one time, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Do you believe that? Yeah. The last is going to be first. Well, then why are we so intent on being first? You're going to be last, you know. So you'll be first for 30, 40 years. Then you can be last for eternity. This is what we're talking about here, I believe. That this man who wanted to be first, the man who would be first, is Diotrephes in the book of 3 John. Now, what was Diotrephes doing? Well, let's learn something about him. Meet him a little bit here. His character is first. I've compared his characteristics to Satan, to the devil. And so, first of all, I note that he was a self-promoter. Someone said to me one time, he said, you ought to push yourself forward more. I said, no, that's not me. He said, well, you know, there's a proverb. He that tooteth not his own horn, behold, his horn will not be tooted. What? I said, that's not in the Bible. Jesus didn't teach that. No, that's what some people think, though, that if I toot my own horn, if I don't toot my own horn, nobody's going to toot it. Well, this one wanted to be a self-promoter. He was putting himself forward. That's called pride. And that's the sin of the devil, remember. 1 Timothy 3:6 says, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation of the devil. So his first characteristic, self-promoter, was just like the devil. He was also insubordinate. He didn't want to do what anybody told him. You can't tell me what to do. I am Diotrephes. Well, that's what Satan said, remember. Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Isaiah chapter 14. Then he was slanderous, slandering everybody in sight, especially the apostle. Remember when When God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that tree. And when Satan saw Eve admiring the tree, he said to her, oh, go ahead, it's okay. Because God knows, he told you not to eat it, but he knows that if you do, then you will be just like God, knowing good and evil. There's a denomination around today who says, oh, we're going to be gods one of these days. No, we're not. No. And Satan told that first lie. See? You'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. Slandering God's word. This man was slanderous as well. Then he was vindictive. Remember he said he threw the people out of the church. Vindictive. Revelation 12:17 says, the dragon, that's Satan, became furious with a woman and went off to make war with her offspring. Well, that's pretty vindictive. He hated the woman, but he's going to make war with her offspring as well. So all of that is to say that Diotrephes was following Satan's characteristics, not God's. So that's his character. Now his office. What kind of an office did he have in the church? Well, he wasn't a pastor. They didn't have pastors in the early church, as near as I can tell. See, pastor is a gift, not an office. It's a gift of how to feed the flock, how to care for the flock. That's pastoring. And it's a misnomer to call me pastor. It's okay, everybody does it, but there's no pastor in the Bible, as near as I can tell, as an office. That's a gift, but not an office. So I don't think he was a pastor. I don't believe he was a bishop either. The word bishop, at least as the way it's seen today, there was one office. There was an office which was the elder bishop, elder/bishop office. But it was really the elder is the only one I can see using it. But the office had three functions. And I think that's the best way to see it. Office had three functions, and the three functions were overseer. We get our word episcopal from that. He was overseer. Then there's a pastor who shepherded the flocks, who cared for the flock. And then the elder, who was the teacher or the teacher ruler. See? And so we get the word Presbyterian from that Greek word. So the one office, and that office was to oversee, was to teach and rule, and it was to care for the flock. That's the office of elder. I have a little problem with seeing pastor, especially pastor, who is the dictator type. Did you ever see that? No, probably not. You've never heard of such a thing. But there are those who do that. You know, I am the pastor. I know of one when I was in Miami. He was walking across the parking lot, and one of his men said, hey, Joe, how you doing? Not his real name. And he said, don't call me Joe. Call me doctor. What? Call me doctor. Well, that's the kind of people. And very often you see when large places, it's the I am the big cheese, you know. Wow. That misnomer and also a misuse of the title. So in Acts, just to show you how these words are used interchangeably, Acts 20 in verse 17 says that Paul from Miletus sent to the elders, and he called the elders, sent to Ephesus, and called for the elders of the church. So he called the elders to come down and visit with him on his way back to Jerusalem. Now, when they got there, he called them bishops. He said in verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that's that word bishop. So then he told them, pastor the church, care for the church. So he's used in that same passage, he's used the three words, elder, overseer, or bishop, and pastor. And that's the three things that these elders were supposed to be doing. So I take it then that he wasn't a pastor or he wasn't a bishop. And one more thing, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul tells Titus, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking." One of those things was to appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. And then he gives them a list of the requirements for elder. They must be blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop, must be blameless. Here are the rules for an elder, because a bishop must be blameless. Using the words interchangeably is what I'm saying. So he was not a pastor, wasn't a bishop. I take it then he was probably an elder. One of many, by the way, because usually the word elder is used in the plural, as we just read. Appoint elders in every place. So there were elders, a plurality of elders in the church. So he was probably one of many. He, being one of many, was taking, usurping the authority of the one head person, which the Bible knows nothing of. A one person running the church. So that's his office. Now, his actions. What did he do? Well, he put himself first. He loved having the preeminence. And I'm telling you, it's one thing to say he wanted to be first, but to say, as John did, he loved having the preeminence. Can you imagine? Can you just see it? It wasn't just enough that he's going to be the one standing up here preaching. But he loved walking across the down the church and across the parking lot, and everybody saying, "Oh, there he goes. There's the man." You know, that's his problem. He loved being first. He wanted to be in charge. Can you see him wanting to be first in the chow line too, elbowing his way in? Let the pastor come first. You know, who's that? Who said that? No, this is what's wrong with this man. He thought of himself first. He became a self-appointed leader, if you will. And apparently, the other elders were allowing him to do this because there was a plurality of elders. I think that maybe they were following the path of least resistance. Okay, if he wants to run, let him run. No, that's not the way it ought to be. He should have been called out on this, and John's going to call him out a little later. So he didn't acknowledge proper authority. See, God gave order in every area. And there are three basic areas that God's using today in his rule of the earth. The first area is family. There's order in the family, supposed to be. You can read about that in Ephesians 5 and 6. There's order in government. You know? Obey those that have the rule over you. In Romans 13:1. And then the church. Church is to have rule, have order also. Let everything be done decently and in order, Paul tells the Corinthian church. So, there's order. And in the early church, the apostles were above the elders. The apostles, the ones who were actually the apostles of the Lord, they had charge of all the churches. And whenever they went to the church, they said this and this, and that's the way it was. Just because they stood in the place of Christ in the church. And later, the elders were to do this, to do that, not to do the authority they had, but to do the authority as the Word of God gave them, not an order, a law to themselves. But Diotrephes refused to accept that order, and he did his own thing. And then this word, I didn't know this word. It says, prating against us. You ever pray? Ever do any prating? I've heard of gold prating. No, it's plating. What is prating? Well, the word means to talk foolishly, to bring false and foolish accusations against John, you know, against the apostles. This same word is used in 1 Timothy 5:13. Translated gossips. Now that's down. I know that one. I know that word. Yeah. Gossips. Go around telling little stories here and there. By the way, my mother had a word for that. A dog that'll bring a bone will carry a bone. One that'll bring you gossip will take what you're saying and take it out. Well, anyway, they were gossiping. They used innuendo. They used gossip to spread false charges against John. Maybe like this. The apostles are getting too old. Well, we don't believe that, do we? Red? We don't believe that. Ed? We don't believe that getting old is bad. No. Getting old is good. Like in cheese and wine. Preachers. Whatever. Yeah. They were little charges like that. Apostles are getting old. The messengers have fooled the apostles, but I'm too smart for that. And I'll throw these people out of my church, even though the apostles had sent them. Remember the Corinthian church? They made fun of Paul. They said, his appearance, his letters are really bold. When he gets here, he's a little mousy guy. No, he's nothing. Don't worry about Paul. His public speaking, he can't even talk. He had all kinds of problems. But they were against that. And that's the kind of foolishness that was going on there in Diotrephes' church. He refused to receive the brothers. John sent the brothers there and said, these men are going to be evangelizing around the area, and they're going to be teaching in the church. And he said, not in my church. You can't come into my church. And we won't help you. We won't put you up. We won't give you any money. We won't give you any food. We're done with you. John doesn't know what he's doing. This is our church. Our church. Well, that's not the way it ought to be. And so Diotrephes wouldn't allow them in, wouldn't help them. Then he says he forbid those who would. There's some who say, oh, I think we ought to help them. No, you won't either. You cannot help them. I won't allow you to do that. See? He apparently didn't scare Gaius. Remember Gaius in the previous section. Gaius had helped the people. He didn't care. He didn't do what Diotrephes told him to do. But the rest of them did. And then he put people out of the church. If you help those people, I'm putting you out of the church. I don't know whether there was some kind of a church role. I don't know of any other place. Or maybe he just physically kept them out of the church. Whatever. He wouldn't let them be in the church. So, that's what Diotrephes was. Can you imagine that in a church? What kind of a fellowship is that? He didn't love anybody, as John had told everybody to do. So that was a bad situation. That's who Diotrephes was. Now, what will John do about that? Well, there are certain prerogatives that an apostle had. We hinted about that a while ago. The apostles had the right to censure anybody in any church. They stood in Christ's place. And so they had the right to say this or that, and it would be there. Of course, now there are no apostles and prophets today. You understand that. Apostles and prophets were the foundation. They were the gifts. The gift of prophets and apostle were foundational. Ephesians 2:20 says this. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Here it is. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So, how's a church built? Well, first of all, we have to have the chief cornerstone, Jesus. God, we're built on the rock. See? And then, on top of the rock come the foundation, the apostles and prophets. They are there. We don't keep on building foundations. You don't put foundations on foundations. The foundation is set. And we, Peter tells us in 1 Peter, we are like living stones being placed into that into the walls, and we're building the church. Jesus Christ is building his church using us as the stones in there. That's what he's saying. So you don't have apostles and prophets any longer today. So anybody who calls himself a prophet, well, not biblical. All right. So John says, I'm going to bring this up when I come. I'm going to bring this up because I have the right to do that. Now, that's his prerogative. But how about the precedence? Well, the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem, they had this apostolic authority as they showed in Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15, there was a question that had arisen in the church. Shall we require the Gentiles who are saved, shall we require them to be circumcised? That was the big question. And of course, there were some some Jewish believers. Remember, we had at that time about 5,000 Jewish believers in Jerusalem, in the area around. And so they were saying, yes, they must be circumcised. And Paul said, no way, that's not the way it is. And Peter, same way. So they had a meeting in Acts 15. And Peter gave his testimony. You can read it. Peter gave his testimony. Paul and Barnabas gave their testimony. And finally, James said, here's the decision. We have decided, we have decided that there will not be any circumcising of Gentiles. They don't have to be circumcised. So they made, that's the authority. This is the way it is. We've decided. And then Paul, one time, in 1 Corinthians 5, he delivered a man to Satan for some things he did. Well, here's what he says. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have judged already, Paul judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and my spirit with you, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a person to Satan. See? That's apostolic authority. And he was using it there. So John will censure him when he comes. He said, I'll bring it up. Not just to say he did this, but I'll censure him. He may even put him out of the church. So that's what Diotrephes did. That's what John's going to do. But then he says, what will Gaius do? What Gaius and others should do, and that includes us. What shall we do? Well, here's what we are to do, number one. This is verse 11. Do not imitate what is evil. Now, there were two examples in the church. There was Diotrephes, the evil one, and there was Demetrius. We're going to see him next week. And he said, don't imitate evil. Don't imitate Diotrephes. Imitate Demetrius instead. Question comes to mind. Was Diotrephes a believer? Hold on to your hat. Was he a believer? Well, I don't know, but let me pose another question. I'll answer that question with this question. Was it possible for Gaius to imitate what Diotrephes had been doing? He says, don't imitate evil. Well, then it must have been possible for Gaius to do the things that Diotrephes had done. Gaius is a believer. We know that. I mean, he's set out as a believer. And if he can do those things, then doing those things does not make you an unbeliever. Okay? So if it's possible for a believer to do those things, then Diotrephes is not necessarily an unbeliever. I think he probably was a believer. So he says, don't do like Diotrephes, but imitate the good. Be like Demetrius. He's a good. So doing the good then is not automatic. That's another thing we need to see. Not only is it possible for a believer to do what Diotrephes has done, it's possible for a believer not to do the good. If it isn't possible for a believer not to do the good, then why is he saying do the good? Why does he have to be reminded to do it if it's automatic? It's not automatic. We have to follow the good. It's possible for us not to do that. So, it's obvious then that Gaius and we could go either way. We could follow the evil or we could follow the good because he's giving us instruction here. Now, that's what they should do. Now, why are they to do it? Well, because he that is good is of God. Shall we do the good? Yes, do the good because the one who does good is of God. Now, of God simply means he has his source in God. When he's doing the good thing, he's doing the things that are in that come from God. He's doing the good from that. He's choosing to do the good, which comes from God, then he is of God. Then he says, he that does evil has not seen God. Whoops, what does that mean? Well, let me carry you down a path here. Sin is always an act of spiritual ignorance and darkness. Anyone who is doing sin is walking in darkness. John told us that in 1 John. If you do sin, you are walking in darkness. Right? And the darkness has blinded your eyes. Right? The sinner acts sinfully because he has lost sight of God. A believer can do that. A believer can walk his own way and lose sight of God. And I think that's what he's saying here. He has lost sight of God. He has not seen God. Note, he does not say he has never seen God. A lot of people read it that way. Man who does evil has never seen God. And I hear people say that. I see people write that. That's not what he's saying. Doesn't say he's never seen God. He has not seen God. Now, I teach a Greek class over here. I'm going to start again next Monday. Now, often, I'm ashamed to say, often those people will come in here and say, don't have my homework. I didn't do my homework. Didn't do your homework. I can embarrass him. Didn't do his homework. Now, does that mean he never did homework at all? No. It means he didn't do this homework. And that's what John is saying, I think. John is saying, the one who does evil, he did the evil apart from his seeing God. Okay? So, he simply means the homework in question has not been completed. And in this, with John, in the time in question, that is the time of his doing the sin, this man sinned. In that time frame, he has not seen God. He hasn't looked to God. He didn't go to God and say, now should I do this? No, he didn't do that. He lost sight of God. He acted in his own desires. He acted in the desires of the devil, if you will. He didn't go to the Word. If he'd gone to the Word, he wouldn't have done that. See? And that's what we do. Go to the Word. If you obey the Word, then you won't sin. Really? Yeah. I was working on this, and I read the entire 119th Psalm. I just said, oh, look at this, look at that. Look at this. Right on through. 150 verses? Whatever. But in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word. There's the power not to do the sin in the word. And it's true that this book will keep you from sin. But it's also true that sin will keep you from this book. You know how it is. The sin, the temptation comes. And maybe the temptation is on Main Street. I shouldn't be going on Main Street, wherever that is. But you know what happens? The devil brings a parade right down your street. Here it comes. And I say to myself, should I do this? Oh, I want to do this. And if I do that, and my desire for the sin is keeping me from the Word, I'm not going to go to the Word if I want to do that. I'm not going to say, now should I do this? Let me go to the Word and say, oh, don't do that. Then I can't do it. And that's the way it ought to be, see. So, the Word, then, will keep us from sin. But sin will keep us from the Word. Now, you will sin because you have not looked to God. You have not seen God. That's all he's saying. Now, Diotrephes forgot God. That was his problem. John had to fight for God. And he tells us, follow the one who is following God. Remember, the first shall be last, and the last will be first. Do you believe that? We'll find out next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.